Well, good morning, and this morning we continue with the parables of Jesus. And this morning we are considering what it means to follow Jesus. In what we're looking at this morning and have heard this morning, he says that we are to consider the cost, count the cost of following Jesus. What does it mean to do this? See, Jesus there, he looks around the crowd and he challenges them if they have the attitude, the will, the heart to follow him. Why do we follow him? Why do we follow Jesus? And I know that we talk about the joy, the peace, the forgiveness, to be with our Father for eternity. These are right and proper. But this morning we are looking at what Jesus is addressing, when he's looking at our heart, when he looks at our attitude. Have we counted the cost of following him? Before we look at the examples that Jesus gives, let us see why Jesus told this parable, why I think he told it. Because I actually think if we can see why he told this parable, we will see that he is actually encouraging us. This is not to put some weight upon us, some burden upon us, that this cost is unreachable. I want us to see this morning that what Jesus wants from us to see is an encouraging message of considering the cost of being a disciple. You might think that is a contradiction. But you see, I believe Jesus is telling this parables this morning so that we can complete the race. So that we can finish. So that we don't give up. That we are not just sounding like a follower. That we're not hypocrites. That we just don't do things because of routine. What Jesus is talking about is a relationship and a fellowship with God. This is what he requires from us this morning. You see, Jesus had a great crowd following him. But Jesus did not want a crowd following him just for what he could give them. And you could say he's almost trying to put them off, saying, look, there is a cost involved in following me. Yes, they had seen the miracles and they'd heard his marvelous teaching and they followed him. They flocked after him. But Jesus said to them, it costs to follow me. And I'm asking them more, and Jesus is asking this morning, are we prepared to pay that cost of following him? You see, we're going to look again at what Jesus says about following him. You see, he said in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, and his children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus is laying it down this morning that if we are going to run the race, if we're going to fight the fight, if we're going to be light, if we're going to be salt, if we're going to be faithful servants, if we're going to be good Samaritans, if we're going to carry with power an effective invite into the kingdom of God, then what he is saying this morning is this, that he must come first. I have said many times that in the Greek, hate really is the wrong impression. What he's actually saying is that we have to love less. Of course we love our families. Of course we do anything for them. Of course we would. And in fact, really, there is a love that flows by the Holy Spirit to our families, to our loved ones. But what Jesus is saying here is this, that when there is an alternative, when it's a choice to be made, and if we want to finish the race, if we want to have our lives that glorify him, he is saying this morning that his followers will choose him. His followers will listen to his voice and follow him, whatever the cost, whatever the whatever it might mean in their relationships to their family. You know, we sing, I surrender all. Isn't that easy to sing? And we're going to sing some songs after this message. And I want you to think about the words that we sing this morning. But this is what Jesus is getting at. It's not lip service. He is looking for a people who will follow him no matter what. No matter what your family says. In some countries, if they become followers of Jesus, they get thrown out of their families. Doesn't happen in this country. But sometimes your family might want to try and get you away from living an effective Christian life. Jesus says this, you want to follow me? Live for me. Jesus is your priority. You see, I think what Jesus is trying to convey is this, that our love for him has to be so strong and so great that in comparison to our love for anyone else, it would seem as though that we just hate that alternative. We love them less. If there's a choice to be made, he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. And Jesus says, my followers, hear my voice. They follow me. That's costly. That's not just paying him lip service. You know, he goes on to say that we are to bear our cross. You know, it's become a piece of jewellery that people hang round their neck or they pin to the lapel on their jackets. And we can lose sight of what it means. You see, to bear our cross doesn't mean to bear a sickness. To bear a cross does not mean that we pull up with abusive relationships. To bear a cross does not mean a dark time, difficult time. So often we hear people say, I am bearing my cross. They mean their situation. They mean their circumstance. They grin and they bear it. But this is not what Jesus meant. So what did Jesus mean? What was the cross? The cross was a place of death. The cross is a place of painful death. And what Jesus is saying, that those who follow him, not only do they put him first, not only is he the one that we listen to and follow, but he says that if anybody wants to follow Jesus, they will die to self. They will die to the promotion of self. They will see that they're not the center of the universe. It's not about us. It's all about him. Have you listened to so much of the teaching that goes on? So much of the teaching that tries to promote self and self-image, even in churches, is all motivational speaking about having the best life, having a good life. And Jesus says, if you want the best life, if you want the abundant life, if you want a good life, you have to die to that life and live for Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. It means that we put self to death. That's what it means to bear our cross. It means we're willing to die. Jesus, in fact, says this, come and follow me and die. If you're not willing to that, don't say you're my follower. Don't call yourself a disciple. Because we're meant to have died with him and we rise with him. You know, that's what baptism signifies, dying with Christ and being brought into life with him. You see, life follows death. And if we're going to live the resurrection life, if we're going to live in the power of the Spirit, if we're going to live in the power of God, then we have to die first so that we can live in that power and in that effectiveness. If you say, well, I don't want to die. If you want to say, you know, I want to promote myself. I'm a very selfish person. He says, don't follow me then. That rich man who didn't want to give away his possessions, he went away without following him. What we as believers, we must put Jesus first. Die to self, oh, to fight the fight, to run the race. I want to tell you, friends, It's easier to run the race and fight the fight if we've put self to death and pull him first. Not so much distraction, not so much hurdles to get over. He comes first. Self is put to death. You see, I said this is a positive message. Jesus isn't actually trying to burden us. He's not trying to make this a harsh saying. Oh, it might sound harsh. What he's actually saying, if you want the abundant life, if you want the life that I have promised, then you must put me first and you must die to self. And then everything else will fall into place. You know, there's a story of a young Christian who went up. He went up to a saint who had walked many years with the Lord and had preached what it had meant to live that crucified life, dying to self. And the young Christian asked that old gentleman, what does it really mean to take up your cross? What does it really mean to be crucified with Christ? And he said, well, I'll tell you what it means. It means that when you live that way, it's like when Jesus was nailed on the cross, he could only face one way. He could not look back. If you want to follow Christ as he wants you to follow him, there's no looking back. And when he is crucified, you know, there's no turning back. And there is this sense, isn't there, of looking upward and looking forward. That's what it means to die with Christ. Is to walk and live in the Spirit. And it doesn't come easy or natural unless we pull him first, unless we are dying to self. Jesus said, take up daily your cross. Are we followers of Jesus? You know, we used to sing, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no going back to how we used to be, no going back to how we used to live. That's how we are meant to live this morning, as followers of Jesus. You know, we should settle this once and for all. Our lives belong to Jesus. We're no longer our own. We have been bought with a price. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore honor God with your body. To be a follower of Christ, we realize we've been bought, we've been purchased. So we listen to him, we follow him, we pull him first. And because we've been crucified with Christ, because we've died with him, we're no longer our own. Do you see what it means to follow Jesus? He's trying to make it easy for us to follow him. He's trying to make it simple for us, that I must be willing to live in such a way that everything I say and everything I do, that he gets all the glory, he gets all the honor, he gets all the praise. That we're not living to bring praise upon ourselves. You know, this is perhaps how we should live. Let me try and give you an example. You know, if God said to me, I made it very plain, you know, I want you somewhere else, in another city, another place, it should come as no surprise to say, I'll resign and go. That's how we should be as followers of Jesus. You know, there's a story of a guy who went to William Booth. As you know, he founded the Salvation Army. He said, what is the secret of the hand of God upon your life? Can you tell me what you did, what you prayed, what's needed? And William Booth thought for a while, then he said, I'll tell you what it is. God has all of me there was to have. Friends, if we want to be effective, If we want the power of God to flow through our lives, if we want to be followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to be like William Booth, who said this, that he has to have all there is. You have to give him all you have. Have I given Christ my all? You know, there might be times when our hearts grow cold, we don't realize it. There might be times when we are just going through motions. We might pray and get on our knees and just say words. Sometimes we just need to take time out and give everything that means to us. Give him your family, give him the loved ones, give him your job, place everything into his care and keep, because that's where it should be. That will give you freedom. That will give you liberty when you say, Lord, here are these things, Lord. I thank you for them all. And Lord, you know I don't want to part with them, but dear Lord, they're yours. I give them all to you. Has Jesus Christ got all there is? Does he have our finances? Does he have our possessions? Oh, we're going to sing soon, all to Jesus, I surrender. Think about those words as we sing them, all to Jesus, I surrender. And we'll be singing, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Think about that when we sing. Do we mean that? Is he Lord? Is he the King of Kings? Oh, we might be your Saviour this morning, but is he the Lord? Is he King of Kings? Has he got your all? It costs to serve Jesus. And he must come before anything and everything else. He must come before your personal ambitions and reputations. He must come. Oh, we must take up our cross. We must follow him. And he actually says, in a sense, come and die so that you can follow me. Come on this adventure. Oh, you might be weak. You might be burdened. You might be hungry. You might be thirsty. But Jesus says, come. Come, forsake all and follow me. Be like those fishermen who, when I said, come and follow me, they left everything and followed him. He then says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? What's he saying now? I think he's saying this. Picture the scene. He's telling this crowd. You would think a guy who went to build a tower, not thinking about how he was going to complete it, a fool, and you would laugh at him and mock at him. And he looks at people and he sees them, this is sort of my little imagination, sees them as towers, buildings. They might have a good foundation. And they've started well, but at some point, they were not prepared to pay the cost. You see, they might have the money to see the project out, but they wanted suddenly to stop putting the money into the project and put the money somewhere else. And he sat down at the beginning. And what Jesus is saying is this, that if you start this walk with me, if you start walking with me because you believe and have repented and my spirit has just come into you, if you start this walk, can you see that there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be problems? You're like a tower being built. And I want you right now this morning to say, whatever happens, I will put you first. Whatever happens, I will die to self. Whatever happens, Lord, I will continue to walk. I will continue to hear your voice and follow you. That's what Jesus is saying this morning. Whatever happens, will you follow? Whatever happens, will you listen? Whatever happens, will you deny yourself and follow him? Otherwise, that tower, that life that has started, will come to a halt. Will come to a halt. I was thinking of this in the week, and I thought, wow, this is like the person who hears the word of Jesus and builds his life upon the sand. And we've looked at that parable. And so then when problem comes, the life collapses. But even so, I also think it's talking about the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, and comes and snatches what was sown in his heart. Friends, we are being built. We are living stones, and there is an enemy, and he wants to come and take chunks out of our lives. He wants to lie to us and steal and destroy us. And Jesus is saying we need to count the cost. And that cost includes seeing that there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be things in our lives that will come and try to prevent our lives being built. And what Jesus is saying this morning, count the cost, so that when these times come, we're not surprised. When these things come, we don't give up. When these things come, we continue with the Lord Jesus Christ in following him and denying self. That's the encouraging message. Jesus is saying these things will come. These things will come. And he went on in that parable that the man who hears the word at once receives it with joy, but has no root. When trouble or persecution comes, he falls away. Jesus is saying, I believe this morning, that if we deny self, pull him first, that when those times come, when trouble or persecution comes, if we would only put him first, if only we would deny self, we would not stop growing. I want us to be encouraged this morning. Jesus wants us to continue. Jesus does not want us to throw the towel in. And he goes on in that parable, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life, deceitfulness of wealth, made it unfruitful. Friends, that can happen to us. That as we walk in the Spirit and we've been a believer, things can come in, the worries of life, the circumstances, trusting in riches. Jesus is saying this morning we need to count the cost of following him, because if we allow deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of life, they are hindrances to us walking and following him. And Jesus wants us to follow. Jesus wants us to realize that there's a cost in following him. And that cost includes problems and difficulties. And yes, they are true. They can be really difficult, really hard. What's the solution? You pull him first and you deny self. You see, when the Father God looks around at those who claim to be his followers, does he see a load of towers that have just stopped growing because of situation, because of circumstance, because of life? This morning I want to tell you this. Pull him first. Deny self. Walk and live in the Spirit. You know what happens? We stop praying, we stop reading the Bible, we stop meeting with believers. I know we can't at the moment, but you get the picture. Friends, so many believers who seem to start, so many believers who seem to start right, so many believers are like unfinished towers. Why? Because Jesus was never their top priority. And they never denied self. And friends, there could be many times as believers that we need to take stock and count the cost of following Jesus. When a difficulty come and a problem come, we can consider the cost to follow him and just remind ourselves that he's our priority, he's our number one, and we'll follow him and we'll deny self. And we deny self. But I want to say this morning, that there's another side of this. God doesn't want those towers to stop growing. God has a commitment to you If you have believed on Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins and followed, and you want to follow him, this is what he says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Do you see what Jesus is saying? You consider the cost. You pull him first. You deny self. And I'll tell you this, that tower of your life will be complete, and he will present you blameless before the Father. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? That we can count the cost, pull him first, deny ourselves, and he makes an agreement with us that tower of our life will be complete. And the only reason it's not complete is because the situation, the circumstance of life, we get tired or we just feel like giving up. And maybe sometimes we just need a reminder, count the cost, consider the cost, pull in first, deny self, take up your cross, follow Jesus, start again. And then quickly, the last little picture he gives. Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? I believe Jesus is saying this. He's building a tower like a fortress. And there's an enemy. He wants to destroy it by lying to you, by deceitful means, through false teaching or whatever. And Jesus is saying this, you know, he might seem he's got 20,000 and we haven't got much. But just one with Jesus is a majority. And also Paul says in the book of Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want to say this morning, these parables are to encourage us. These parables are here this morning so that we will fight the fight, run the race, complete. So that when the enemy lies and deceives, and if he could destroy that tower, that fortress that God wants in our lives, and he wants it to come complete. I want to tell you this morning that if we pull him first and deny ourselves, God is committed to make sure that what he has claimed to be faithful, he will do it. Friends, we have the armor of God to distinguish all what the enemy would throw at us. Not time for that this morning. We are meant to be like soldiers, aren't we? We don't get involved with civilian affairs. We don't compromise. My time is gone. How are you this morning? What about you following Jesus this morning? Have you considered the cost at any time in your Christian life of what it means to follow Jesus? Have you? That it means that we pull him first. It means we take up our cross. It means we deny ourselves. It means that we realize there is an enemy. And that our lives sometimes come to a standstill. If your life has come to a standstill this morning, then I want to tell you this morning, go to Christ. Because he wants to complete that good work he started in you. So for whatever reason, a tower has been thrown in. For whatever reason, the tower is not being built anymore. Maybe the tower's got chunks out of it. Maybe it's been hurt. Maybe there's bitterness. I don't know this morning. But I want to tell you this morning, he wants to complete that good work. Go to him. Go to him. Maybe you thought like the people in Malachi's day who says, you know, it's futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirement? They were moaning at him. What's the use of serving God, they said. It's foolish to serve God, they said. When we get into that rut, we need to consider the cost of following Jesus and go back to the basic. He's number one. We take up our cross because we're crucified with him. We deny ourselves. Count the cost this morning. We're going to sing some songs, as I've said this morning. which will make us think about what it means to follow Jesus. But Jesus, at the end of this parable, he talked about salt, and if it loses its flavor, it's no good. Do you know what Jesus said these things? We too often pick up on the negative. He said, I want you to be salt. You are the salt of the world. And I've told these parables that if you count the cost of pulling me first, if you deny yourself, you are going to be salt. That tower will be completed because God is faithful and he will do it. You see, I don't want this message this morning to be a burden. Oh, the cost of being a Christian. Oh, forsaking and surrendering, all that's such a hardship. No, it's the road into freedom and liberty to see the blessings of God on our lives. So this morning, see that there will be problems and difficulties. He will see you through. And he will complete that good work he started in you. You are the salt of this world. Amen.